Arthur leapt to his feet with a start of fear. It would be hard to say which he was more frightened of, that he might have hurt the person he had inadvertently sat on, or that the person he had inadvertently sat on would hurt him back. There seemed, on inspection, to be little immediate cause for alarm on the second count. Whoever it was he had sat on was unconscious. That would probably go a great deal of the way towards explaining what he was doing lying there. He seemed to be breathing okay, though. Arthur felt his pulse. That was okay as well. He was lying on his side, half curled up. It was so long ago and far away when Arthur had last done first aid that he really couldn't remember what it was he was supposed to do. The first thing he was supposed to do, he remembered, was to have a first aid kit about his person. Damn. Should he roll him onto his back or not? Suppose he had any broken bones? Suppose he swallowed his tongue? Suppose he sued him? Who, apart from anything else, was he? At that moment, the unconscious man groaned loudly and rolled himself over. Arthur wondered if he should... He looked at him. He looked at him again. He looked at him again just to make absolutely sure. Despite the fact that he had been thinking he was feeling about as low as he possibly could, he experienced a terrible sinking feeling. The figure groaned again and slowly opened his eyes. It took him a while to focus. Then he blinked and stiffened. "You!" said Ford Prefect. "You!" said Arthur Dent. Ford groaned again. "What do you need to have explained this time?" he said, and closed his eyes in some kind of despair. 5 minutes later, he was sitting up and rubbing the side of his head, where he had quite a large swelling. "Who the hell was that woman?" he said. "Why are we surrounded by squirrels, and what do they want?" "I've been pestered by squirrels all night," said Arthur. "They keep on trying to give me magazines and stuff." Ford frowned. "Really?" he said. "And bits of rag?" Ford thought. "Oh," he said. "Is this near where your ship crashed?" "Yes," said Arthur. He said it a little tightly. "That's probably it. Can happen. Ship's cabin robots get destroyed. The cyber minds that control them survive and start infesting the local wildlife. Can turn a whole ecosystem into some kind of helpless thrashing service industry, handing out hot towels and drinks to passers-by. Should be a law against it. Probably is. Probably also a law against there being a law against it, so everybody can get nice and worked up. Hey-o, what did you say?"
"I said, and the woman is my daughter."
Ford stopped rubbing his head.
"Say that one more time."
"I said," said Arthur huffily, "the woman is my daughter."
"I didn't know," said Ford, "that you had a daughter."
"Well, there's probably a lot you don't know about me," said Arthur. "Come to mention it, there's probably a lot I don't know about me either."
"Well, well, well. When did this happen, then?"
"I'm not quite sure."
"That sounds like more familiar territory," said Ford. "Is there a mother involved?"
"Trillion."
"Trillion? I didn't think that..."
"No. Look, it's a bit embarrassing.
I remember she told me once she had a kid, but only sort of in passing. I'm in touch with her from time to time. Never seen her with the kid."
Arthur said nothing. Ford started to feel the side of his head again in some bemusement.
"Are you sure this was your daughter?" he said.
"Tell me what happened."
"Phew. Long story. I was coming to pick up this parcel I'd sent to myself here, care of you."
"Well, what was that all about?"
"I think it may be something unimaginably dangerous."
"And you sent it to me?" protested Arthur.
"Safest place I could think of. I thought I could rely on you to be absolutely boring and not open it. Anyway, coming in at night, I couldn't find this village place. I was going by pretty basic information. I couldn't find any signal of any kind. I guess you don't have signals and stuff here."
"That's what I like about it."
"Then I did pick up a faint signal from your old copy of the guide, so I homed in on that, thinking that would take me to you. I found I'd landed in some kind of wood, couldn't figure out what was going on. I get out and then see this woman standing there. I go up to say hello, then suddenly I see that she's got this thing."
"What thing?"
"The thing I sent you, the new guide, the bird thing. You were meant to keep it safe, you idiot, but this woman had the thing right there by her shoulder. I ran forward and she hit me with a rock."
"I see," said Arthur. "What did you do?"
"Well, I fell over, of course. I was very badly hurt. She and the bird started to make off towards my ship. And when I say my ship, I mean an RW-6. A what? An RW-6, for Zark's sake. I've got this great relationship going now between my credit card and the guide's central computer. You would not believe that ship, Arthur. It's... So an RW-6 is a spaceship, then? Yes, it's... Oh, never mind. Look, just get some kind of grip, will you, Arthur? Or at least get some kind of catalogue. At this point, I was very worried, and, I think, semi-concussed. I was down on my knees and bleeding profusely, so I did the only thing I could think of, which was to beg. I said, please, for Zark's sake, don't take my ship, and don't leave me stranded in the middle of some primitive Zarkin forest with no medical help and a head injury. I could be in serious trouble, and so could she. What did she say? She hit me on the head with the rock again. I think I can confirm that that was my daughter. Sweet kid. You have to get to know her, said Arthur. She eases up, does she? No, said Arthur, but you get a better sense of when to duck. Ford held his head and tried to see straight.